How are you? You guys have a good day? Huh? No? Horrible day? Sounds terrible. It's frozen this morning. Okay, so I've opened my big mouth and I promised somebody that I would be off the stage at 10 to 8. We'll see. Yay! Actually, someone told me if they'd have known that, they would have been happy to be here tonight. But when they found out I was teaching, they said, I should have stayed home. I'll be all right. I've had a few minutes to get over that. Jeff is suffering in Disneyland right now, suffering for Jesus with his wife and his kids. I don't know if it was this morning or tomorrow, but they're having breakfast with all the princesses and, you know, stuff that we all like to do with our girls and our boys. So, hey, why don't we lift him up, lift his time with his family up in prayer really quick and just ask the Lord to bless that. Lord, we do lift up our friend, our brother, our pastor, Jeff, and his wife Bronwyn and his girls. And I just pray, Lord, that this time away would just be refreshing for the whole family. That they would connect in a special way during this week, that they would make memories that would last a lifetime, that they would just enjoy each other and enjoy you, that they would understand that every good and perfect gift comes from you and just give you glory for even being able to make this trip. I pray for their safe travels, wherever they may be going today, tomorrow, tonight, and on their way home, Lord, bring them home safely to us. We ask all of these things and commit them to you, Jesus. Amen. How many of you guys are very similar to me and really like to be in control? Not just like control of some things, but control of everything around you. All the husbands are doing this to their wives, and all the wives are going like this to their husbands. How many of you guys are just like me and you don't just want to control things sometimes, you want to control things all the time. Everything you're involved in, even some things you're not involved in. You have a control problem. Just me? I'm alone? That's all right. I know you're all lying. Because I know some of you. I know some of you. And you have the same tendency I have to want to control every situation you're in. Control all the environments around you. Control the people you associate with. You want to control everything. That's why I hate roller coasters. It's not because I'm scared, Mom. I know. It's because you and Dad tormented me and forced me to go on the roller coaster screaming and crying the whole time, and I've got some issues. It's a lack of control. You have no idea where that roller coaster car is going to go. You can see the track. You have no idea if it's going to stay on the track. See? It's a lack of control. The Tower of Terror in Disneyland that Jeff probably will not take his little girls on, it's horrible. It's just a free fall. Up and down, up, down. No control. I hate being out of control. And I've been thinking about this recently. Some things that we're just not in control of. And there's a lot of things that we are not in control of. Have you guys thought about this? For instance, other people. You have absolutely no control over what people think of you, how people feel about you, what they say about you when you're not there, how they act. Now, you may have influence into the lives of people, but you don't have control over other people. As much as we want to control other people sometimes, we can't. We don't have control. How about nature? How many of you guys can control the wind and the rain, the waves of the ocean? No? None of you? I'm alone in that? No. No, we have absolutely no control whether the sun came out this morning or if it rained this morning. God did not check with us on that. We have no control over time. How many of you guys, if given the opportunity, would slow down time every once in a while? I would. My kids are growing up, and I got 2 more years before my oldest goes off to college. 2 years is really, really short. I would really like to slow down time, but there's also a lot of times when I'd like to speed up time. You know, Sunday morning about 11:40. Come on. No. But how many of us would... I'm not going to give him this CD. How many of us would really like to be able to control time from, you know, now and again? I would, but you know what? We don't control it. It just keeps marching on. Just keeps going on, moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, week by week. Teenagers. How many of you guys have teenagers? The guy who wrote, or the person who wrote the old adage that raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree, nailed it. You don't have control over teenagers. You think you do. You may even have, if they allow it, some input into their lives. But you don't have control over your teenagers. You want to. You try to. You grasp for it as they're pushing away. But ultimately, we don't have control over teenagers. Your kid's in the kids' wing, for goodness sakes. I try, and I try, and I try. I can't control them. And I don't like to be out of control. I need you to help me. Please, on Sunday mornings, do this for me. About 9:30, 9:45, take all your kids, all 8 of them, both of them, however many you have. Take them, line them up, and give them each a Benadryl. 10:15, class is cake. No problem. We got control. Everything's under control. Not an issue. You would really help me, Vern, and the rest of the teachers out on Sunday mornings if you guys could do that. I mean, we could talk for hours, and I won't. But we could talk for a long time about things that we have absolutely no control over. The things that we think we have control over are actually more of an illusion of control sometimes. How many of you guys have a DVD player or a Blu-ray player at your house? Most of us. If you're still on VHS, time to upgrade. Sarah and I put in a DVD the other night. Now, when you buy a DVD player, it comes in a box. In the box, you pull out, there's the DVD player, here's the power cord, and here's this little portable device called a remote control. The idea behind that remote control is that you are able to control the box that plays DVDs. So we put in a movie the other night. Boom, there's 17 previews. I don't want to watch these previews. Menu. This is the controller. Menu. Menu. A little red circle with the line through it. No, sorry, can't do that. Okay, skip. No, red circle, line. No, cannot skip. Fast forward. No, sorry, can't do that. You have to watch these 17 previews whether you want to or not. We don't even have control in our own living rooms of the DVD player that we spent $100 on the TV at our house. Some guy who made a DVD back in who knows where is controlling what you watch. Have you guys ever taught a child to drive? That's not even an illusion of control. That's a lack of control. That's out of control. As soon as you hand those keys to your 15-year-old son or daughter, and you get in that passenger seat, it's over. You may think you're in control. You may want to be in control. You may be praying to God for control, but you have no control whatsoever. And as you drive down the street and there's a car in front of you that has stopped, it is not moving, it has not moved for 5 seconds, the brake lights are lit up and your son or daughter has still got his foot on the gas, what do you do? Brake, brake, brake. I mean, you're hitting a brake pedal that's not even there. Wanting control back, right? And that doesn't work. And that fear sets in. What have I done? And what do? You scream, slow down! Stop! thinking, I need to have control. And yelling and screaming and freaking out your 15-year-old kid is going to help. No, it's an illusion of control. Well, the Bible tells us there's one thing for sure that we have control over, or we should. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 is where we're going to spend a little time. And if you want to go ahead and mark Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, we're going to be there as well. Some of you know 2 Timothy was the very last letter written by Paul to his co-laborer, his son in the faith, Timothy, who he had left in Ephesus to manage and put in order the church and the elders in a city called Ephesus, a gigantic port city of the day. It was a tall order for anyone. And so Paul wrote Timothy two letters, encouraging him and instructing him to continue to preach the word, guard the flock, guard the deposit that God has given you. Watch out for wolves. I guess I should turn there too, huh? Paul says to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 6, "For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Now, some of your Bibles may not say self-control. They may say a sound mind in the King James Version, may say self-discipline in the NIV, or in the NASB, it may just say of discipline. Either way, the word in the Greek is the same. And I'm going to butcher it, but I'm going to try. It says sophronismos. I want you guys to say that. I don't want to be alone. Sophronismos. Sophronismos. Right, good. See, I'm not the only dummy here. Okay, the definition of that word is admonishing or calling to moderation and self-control. Notice one thing. It doesn't say in verse 7, God gave us a spirit not for fear, but of power and of love and total control. Or others' control. It says, God has given us the spirit of power and love and self-control. There's one thing that you and I have control over. And it's not each other. And it's not even the world around us or the circumstances necessarily that we find ourselves in. It's ourselves. Now, if it's just the commandment to have self-control by itself, it fails. But look what Paul tells Timothy. He gave us the Spirit. Now, he's alluding to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of power. First of all, God gave it to us. It doesn't say Timothy. It says God gave us this Spirit. So it's a God-given gift. And it's led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to flip over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 23, and we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. One of them being self-control. The one thing that God says we actually have control of. So I'm going to read through it, and then we'll talk about it. And I'm not going to get you out of here at 10 to 8. Sorry. You can complain to Jeff when he gets home. Galatians 5:16. "But I say," Paul writing to the church in Galatia, "walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, Paul's going to go on here to give a list of the works of the flesh and then the fruits of the Spirit. So verse 19, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Here we see that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And now let me clarify to anyone here who needs it. So often we think that we need to have self-control. We need to clean ourselves up. We need to handle the addiction. We need to handle the issues in our lives so that we can present ourselves before God and He will be pleased with us. We've got to have it together before we can come to God. And that's false. That is absolutely false. In fact, we are freed from the lack of self-control when we come to Christ. When we come to the Lord, He frees us from our lack of self-control, with which the lack of self-control leads to the works of the flesh. Verse 19. And that's what we are freed from for the fruits of the Spirit. So don't misunderstand that you don't have self-control. You don't clean yourself up. You don't present yourself perfect before God for Him to accept you. You come to God and He does the work in you and frees you from the lack of self-control to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Now, Paul says in verse 16 here, chapter 5 of Galatians, he tells the church there, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now that statement, walk in the Spirit, has a twofold application. The first is direction. Making good choices, making good decisions, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So it's one part direction, its second part is empowerment. It's acting in the power that the Spirit provides. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says that you have been given the Spirit of power, right? God's Spirit is powerful. The word dunamis, that dynamite, that powerful Spirit of God. And you have the power to produce, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. One of them being what we're talking about tonight, self-control. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Some of you know this. You've seen it. You got it on a coffee cup at home. It's not by power or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, the power comes from Him, not you, not me. It goes on to say in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The Spirit and the flesh, 24/7, 365 days a year, are constantly at odds with each other. And at any given moment of any given day, you are walking in or feeding one or the other. You're walking in the Spirit, direction and power from the Spirit, or you're walking in the flesh. but they're at odds. It's a constant battle. And Paul acknowledges here, look, you're saved, you're a Christian, but that doesn't make everything smooth sailing. You're never going to deal with carnal issues again. You're never going to deal with fleshly tendencies again. He doesn't say that. He says, look, it's a constant battle. The spirit and the flesh are constantly against each other. They're constantly at odds. But verse 17 or 18 says, but, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the pre-Christian government. You're not under the law. You're under grace. When you walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, that verb led is actually a word that I can pronounce. It's ago, A-G-O, ago. And it's a verb that implies an active personal involvement by the Holy Spirit. But it's also written in the present tense. So it would be more like if you are being led right now and ongoing, it's an ongoing activity. If you are being led by the Spirit, you are under grace. If you are being led by the Spirit, you will produce self-control. It will result in the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is self-control. And you think, yeah, that's good. Got that. Self-control is not my issue. My issue, as we talked about earlier, is I want to control everybody that's not me. I got me under control, which you don't, by the way. If you think you do, you don't. You're wrong. But my issue isn't that. It's I want to control my kids, and I want to control their teachers, and I want to control their football team and their coaches, and I want to control the traffic because the traffic around here is horrible, and I want to control the stock market and the housing market, and I want to control the radio in the car, and I want to control my spouse, and I want to control these things. Good. Yeah. Self-control, blah, blah, blah. I want to control everything. Newsflash for you. You're not God. You don't get to control everything. And the rest of us are very thankful about that. Very thankful about that. See, God is ultimately in control of everything. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Yes? Do you live that way? Do you live that way, moment by moment, day by day? I don't. And I actually believe it. But I don't really live that way all the time. Too often, I attempt to control everything in my life. And I try to do it in my own strength, in my own power, with my own abilities. And guess what that leads to? Failure. I'm worn out. And I'm tired. Depression. Anxiety. We fail to trust God and believe that he's in control. And that leads to these anxiety attacks and anxiousness and depression. And we have to, well, what about this? And how's this going to work out? And well, I don't think God's really thought that far ahead. So I don't think he's got that in control. And I better worry about this for him because, I mean, I don't think he's got me on his mind. And I don't think he knows how this is all going to play out. We want to have all the answers all the time. And we want to have everything under control. God gives us example after example after example in his word of him being in absolute control all the time. You guys, one story. Do you guys know the story of Joseph, son of Jacob, sold into slavery by his brothers? Right? To Potiphar. Goes to Egypt. Sold into slavery. How great is that? But not enough. He gets accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. Gets thrown into prison. promised by the baker and the cupbearer, hey, we'll talk to Pharaoh for you, but as soon as they get their freedom, forgotten about for 2 years. At the perfect timing that God had preordained, Joseph is allowed out of prison, interprets the dream of the Pharaoh, gets put into the position that God has for him, second in command under Pharaoh alone, comes up with a plan, saves millions of lives, including his brothers who sold him into slavery, their families, and his own father who thought he was dead. Now, in that story, how many of you think Joseph knew the outcome of that? He didn't. How many of you thought Jacob, his father, knew the outcome of that? No, he thought Joseph was dead. But now, from our perspective here in 2012, well, we can see God weaving in and out, controlling, seeing the big picture, knowing how it's going to end, using these things. As Jacob says in Genesis 50, verse 20, what you meant for evil, God is using for good. To bring it about that many people should be saved, kept alive. God gives us story after story after story. The Bible is full of stories of God proving to you and to me that he is faithful, that he has it under control. Even when we're in the role of Joseph, we're going, I don't see it. I don't get it. I'm not in control. I know that. Are you? But he proves it over and over. You and I could talk about our past and say, I can see how God used that, worked through that circumstance, used that circumstance to bring me to this relationship that brought me to here, that brought me to this church, to this youth group, that led me to the Lord. And we can see now, looking back, how God had all of that worked out before it even began. But in the moment of my life is spinning out of control, we don't see it. And that's where faith comes in. Do we believe that God has everything under control? Yes, we do. Let's just say, yes, we do. So if God, if we trust and we believe, we have faith that God has everything in the universe, everything in the world, everything in our own country, everything in our own state, county, city, town, neighborhood under control, we must be completely reliant upon him for our own self-control. It even says it here in the Bible. It's by God's Spirit alone that we are able to have self-control. Because without God's Spirit, we don't have self-control. Without self-control, we have the works of the flesh. Now, spirit, the flesh, constantly battling, right? It's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle. How many of you struggle with that? Like, I do well, I don't do so well. I do well, I don't do so well. We're in good company. Paul, remember that guy? Wrote this book and a little letter to Timothy we're talking about. Two-thirds of the New Testament. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he says, I don't even understand my own actions. I don't do the things I should or I want to. And the things I hate, the things I shouldn't do, that's what I do. I mean, Paul, of all people, had issues with this spirit and flesh battling. It's a constant struggle. So let me ask you these questions. How much of what you did today, how much of what you did today, not yesterday, today, was spirit-led? How much of what you did today was relying completely on the Spirit of God or led completely by the Spirit of God? If you answer like I did when I asked myself that question, studying the Word of God, not enough. Not as much as it should have been. Okay, how much of what you did today was relying on your own strengths, on your own training, on your own wisdom, on your own ideas? If you answered that like I did, way too much. Is there a balance issue there? Because ultimately, anything other than 100% reliant upon the Spirit of God and 0% reliant upon me is out of balance. 98%, 2%, out of balance. It's wrong. It's off. But we know that it's a struggle. It's a constant battle. So the big idea is this. Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him. He says, look, Timothy, I've left you with a tall order, to say the least. And I want to remind you to exercise this gift that God has given you. I want to encourage you to use the gift God gave you. See, Timothy, he's given you the Holy Spirit. But it's not this spirit of timidity that you have. This spirit of the word actually means cowardice or shrinking back from your responsibilities. Timothy, God did not give you that spirit. That's not from God. That's from his adversary. He did not give you the spirit to shrink back from your responsibilities, but he's given you a spirit that's full of power to walk in love and self-discipline, self-control. You must rely upon the Spirit of God, Timmy. It's only by His Spirit, walking in His Spirit, that you're able to have self-control, to fight against the works of the flesh. But see, to have the Spirit, you must be regenerated. You must be born again. So all of this comes to a head at the cross of Jesus. See, without the cross, without Christ coming and living and going to the cross and dying in your place, in my place, taking the sin of each one of us on his shoulders and imputing his perfect righteousness into each of our lives, without that, without him going to the grave, without him rising again, conquering sin and death, without those things, we don't get the Holy Spirit. See, if you don't have Christ in your life, if he is not who you trust in, verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5 is what you have to look forward to, the works of the flesh. But, if he's your Savior, if he is your God, if you have believed in him and you have given your life to him, then you're able to, by his power, by his leading, walk in the Spirit and be self-controlled. You cannot control everything around you. As much as you try, as much as I want to. But I can, with the help of the Spirit, control me. Control my thoughts and my attitudes and my heart. Only through the Spirit. That's why we need the gospel. Because without the gospel, without Christ, none of this is even possible. Timothy, without Jesus, you don't have the Spirit. And without the Spirit, you cannot walk in power and in love and in self-control. You must have Jesus Christ to do what he's gifted you to do. Timothy, you've been gifted, but you've got to walk in this Spirit of power and self-control. You have to. And you can't do it without Christ. And you and I can't either. The things that God has before us, the good works that he's prepared before us, that he's allowing us to walk in. We cannot walk in those without the Spirit of God leading and guiding and empowering us. And without self-control, we end up walking in the flesh. It's a constant battle. The Spirit, the flesh. And the battle was won at the cross. And so we can walk in freedom, saying, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not in control. And we can throw our hands up and say, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up control to you, Lord, because I can't do it. And when we come to that realization, I can't do it, we're making strides in the right direction. When we say, Lord, you have to do it, we're there. When we say, Lord, take over. I almost said, Jesus, take the wheel. But I told Jeremy I wasn't going to say that because it was a very good moment and I ruined it. You don't want to know the conversations that happen over there in that office every day. Are you tired? Are you tired of doing it in your own power? Are you tired of trying to have self-control and losing the battle time after time after day after month after year? Give it up. Give it up. It's in his power. It's by my power, says the Lord, not in yours. Amen? Amen. Will you guys stand and pray with me? Look at that. 8:00. 8:00.